Well, for those of you that missed it the first time, welcome to the Osmo NBA Strategy Show. It's Saturday morning. It's your old pal Emac coming to you with the one and only Gundacker and producer to be named later. There might be a trade mid-show here. Gun, how are you doing for the second time? Take two.
Here, perfectly organic intro here. What up?
Happy Saturday. Good morning.
Yeah, it's been one of those days. I went to bed early last night. I missed Golden State ending the 18 game winning streak of the Phoenix Suns. I stuck around and saw Brooklyn come back and ultimately end up winning against a frisky Minnesota team without Karl Anthony Towns. And then what was the other debacle? Oh, somehow I totally forgot until this morning that Boston and Utah actually played each other last night. And they ended up like, what was it, like 267 points or some ungodly thing like that. Both teams shot over 50%. Combined, they missed three free throws. And Utah hit half of their threes, including 7 of 7 for Conley. I looked at that box score and I'm like, oh, that's why my currently winnings really didn't do much after I went to bed, even having a lot of players from those two 10 o'clock games.
Yeah, that was nuts. I Celtics at Utah Jazz. I'm not gonna pretend like I was even close there. Oddly enough, there was really only like Mike Conley was the only like slate breaker, I guess Al Horford. But yeah, that was not expected in my on my end.
Yeah, it was just I was just flabbergasted by that box score. But we've got 6 games today. So we're going to talk about those. We have 55 minutes to go. Coming up after us is going to be the College Football Live Before Lock. It is the league championship day today. So there's going to be a lot of marquee matchups, about a dozen or so. We had a couple that kicked things off last night. And then the main one, of course, today will be the Georgia against Alabama. So that one will be the highlighted game. But the NBA slate starts at 8 o'clock tonight. So it's a little bit later than normal. There is one early game. We're skipping that one. But we do have obviously content for it, projections, et cetera, et cetera. If you guys have not yet signed up at Osmo, you can always utilize the promo code NBA Strategy Show. All caps, one word, that's NBA Strategy Show. That will get you 25% off 1 week of Osmo Platinum. That's Osmo All Access, all sports, all sites. Or you can go with our NBA Weekly Package for just $16.95. That gets you everything. Or if you're just dabbling, get that Weekly Express Package, which gives you full Osmo Plus access to the NBA Showdown, single game contests, player rankings, ownership rankings, et cetera. But that is just less than $1 a day. You can have some fun with that one. It also gets you access to Discord, where you can ask all of those burning questions, such as how do I use XYZ tool? What settings do you use in Fantasy Cruncher? And we can teach you all of that, because the answer is it depends on your style of play, your strategy, your risk tolerance, etc. But we'll work all that in there for you. All right, Gundacker, let's get to our first game of the night. Quite a few teams on a back-to-back. We, of course, have Chicago favored by 3 going into Brooklyn. Brooklyn played last night. Out for Chicago, we have White and Green. They're in the health and safety protocol. Questionable is Alex Caruso dealing with a hamstring, and then Cam Thomas dealing with a sore quad. Brooklyn on the back-to-back, they ended up winning 110-105 in the comeback victory against Minnesota. The vast majority of their starters played 34 or more minutes. Bembry did not. And then they've shortened their rotation, but there were brief Nick Claxton and Javon Carter appearances for like 3 minutes each. So they're just really running a tighter rotation there. Blake Griffin has been removed. He was a DNP last night. That is going to be the default position going forward. What would you like to do in our first game?
Yeah, so you mentioned Alex Caruso dealing with a hamstring. If he can't go, and we know Javonte Green is down, somebody would be promoted to, I guess, more guard minutes. So maybe a guy like Derrick Jones Jr. becomes a long shot dart on DraftKings at 3,100. If Crusoe was in, I'd be a little less inclined to get to Jones with any type of confidence. But also, there are some Javonte Green minutes to compensate for. And I feel like there's a couple of ways they could fill that. But none of the names are especially daunting in terms of me trying to get some exposure. It'd probably be Derrick Jones Jr. and Ayo Dosunmu. I love that name. 3K over there, 24 minutes for him. But for the most part, the bulk of my interest for the Chicago Bulls comes down to the usage hogs, the Zach LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic, and Lonzo Ball. All of their price points on DraftKings feel extremely, extremely tight. I don't know how often they coexist with a true ceiling for tournament optimization. But on a shorter slate like this, I think I can justify probably, you mentioned those fantasy crunch rules. I might get up to like two Bulls per lineup, depending on the Caruso news. And on the Nets side, it is, it feels like an uphill battle from a defensive standpoint, but Harden and KD are just different. And we've seen Harden be able to parlay tough defensive matchups this year into solid fantasy games. A couple games where he's gotten to double digit free throw attempts like old school Harden. So there would absolutely be, good priority on getting Harden and KD in our lineups. Last night, we saw Nick Claxton get activated again. Will they let him play two games in a row? No matter what, LaMarcus Aldridge at 5,600 on DraftKings and on FanDuel. He had extremely high ownership on FanDuel yesterday. Probably expect more of the same. Usually the spot where I do pick on the Bulls is going to be in the front court. So Aldridge, if we believe in his minutes, they've seemingly kicked Blake Griffin to the curb. I usually expect about 25, 28 minutes out of Aldridge, so I'd probably be there on him. And then just kind of spin the wheel, make a deal on the Patty Mills, the DeAndre Bembry types. Exciting to put in your lineup, but this far out, you mentioned super late lock, a couple of low price tags to kind of fill in a roster spot. Patty Mills usually going to need, a lot of threes to get where we need him to go. And then DeAndre Bembry can, I think, on FanDuel fill a more of a role with his defensive peripherals, averaging a steal per game. But yeah, for the most part, I like this. I think this is one of our better total games. And I'm in on, I think I like Harden the most and then KD next. And then I'm just kind of rotating two of the big three studs from Brooklyn or from Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, is a good call up there on LaMarcus Aldridge. He on Yahoo is going to be one of the more popular options today at the center position. He's $19 there. In his last four starts, he has played no fewer than 28 minutes, is averaging just over 30. The one thing that we want to remember about Aldridge is he doesn't, and this is a career-long thing, he's not necessarily a rebounder. Think sort of like a Brook Lopez to bring it back to the Nets. You're going to get six or seven from him, not double digits. This season, he has double digits once. But in his starting stretch, he has 11, 9, 6, and then 4 in his last – oops, sorry. That 11 was his last before his start. It's 9, 6, 5, 4, 5. The 5 was last night. So a couple things I want to mention. We are sponsored by Yahoo, and we've got a nice little deal going on there with them. If you guys have not yet created a Yahoo DFS account, you can sign up through the link that's below us in the YouTube description here. Deposit and play. That's it. All you got to do is send play in one paid contest with Yahoo. Put in a $10 deposit. They'll give you $10 in site credit. Your first first paid contest needs to come from your funds, not the Yahoo funds. As soon as that occurs, when that contest locks, they send us an email saying, "Hey, so and so was referred on your link. You need to give them 30 free days of Osmo premium content." And then we're going to contact you, give you a coupon code that will get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. If you have signed up, it generally takes about two business days for us to get all that sorted out. But if you guys have signed up via that methodology, you can always reach out to support@osmo.com and we'll get you squared away more quickly. Just remember, you can't do this right before NFL lock because we're in scramble mode ourselves. So if it's outside of a major lock time, we'll get you taken care of. All right, Gunn. The other interesting thing here is for Yahoo in particular is going to be some of the Bulls pricing here, especially if Crusoe is out. So you've got Lonzo Ball. It's kind of like, yeah, but he's $25. Okay, now we're getting interested. Nikolaj Vucevic at 34, DeMar DeRozan at 38, and you've got Zach LaVine at 33. Zach has been, he's the probably my favorite of these particular players here. However, he has gone over 40 Yahoo points just once in his last six games. Where's the upside when all four of these guys are playing? The price is fine, but he's a neutral play in this. I think he's absolutely fine if you're going to be looking for a player or two from each side, going for a little in-game synergy there. Pick a couple that are going to be in the closing lineup, a Durant or a Harden, and then Zach and somebody else from the Bulls, even one of the cheap ones. Now we're talking. But as a standalone play, I'm not really excited about any of these guys. Again, they're just neutral. They're not bad. They're just not great at the moment. And that would be even if Caruso is out. Anything else from this game?
No, yeah, with Kobe White out and potentially Caruso, if Caruso ended up getting axed here, you might see extremely deep minutes for Lonzo Ball, and his $6,500 price tag on FanDuel might be a little too soft if that does play out the way we want it to.
All right, a little fun here in chat. Okay, so our next game. And now look, we've got most of the housekeeping out of the way, so we're going to have lots of fun now. We have Miami at Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo all but assuredly out tonight. He is doubtful, missed the last game with the calf injury. They are not expecting him to play tonight. Jimmy Butler out with the tailbone. Bam Adebayo out for a while, just had surgery on his thumb. Markieff Morris, neck issue, head issue, whatever you'd like to say there. Miami, this is 3-4. It's a back-to-back. They won last night in Indiana, 113-104. Heck, we even had an Udonis Haslem signing last night. He played six uneventful minutes, but it was that kind of night there for Miami. I think we can look to Lowry. Clearly, we can look to Hero, probably even Dwayne Dedmon. What do you like here from the Miami side? And then take us through the amazing plays we have with Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, and Bobby Portis going against that not-so-stout Miami defense.
Yeah, this game becomes a little bit more obtainable than maybe it would have been the last week, right? Jimmy Butler, Adebayo, Giannis is in. Pricing's probably really tight, and we got good defensive metrics, but there's just enough missing to target this game. The Heat side, if we can believe in them staying competitive, you mentioned that 3-4 being shorthanded. Maybe last night we get some buyer's remorse discount on ownership on a guy like Tyler Hero. I'm looking at our early ownership projections. We got Hero at 24%. You know, looking in our chat, I've already seen some people tilt the Hero's results last night. I think his results last night came at the every now and then Duncan Robinson big game. And Duncan Robinson last night sustained a 24% usage rate. That's about 10% more than what you would expect him on a game-to-game basis. And then, of course, Kyle Lowry also picked up a lot of slack as well. The Heat are one of those teams. I always wait for that grenade to be thrown in the room with news. You know, you think about Lowry on 3-4. But if we're going to get this team as such, I think Dwayne Dedmon, Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry are still going to be the focal points for me. And then because Duncan Robinson is still cheap enough going against a high-paced a Bucks team for their sakes, I do like going back to some Duncan Robinson for some real point potential, 20-plus real points. That outside the range of outcomes. I think I looked up last night, and P.J. Tucker had a solid game. I believe in revenge, maybe go for it. But I'm not really there on P.J. Tucker almost ever, but he is just 3,500, and the need for some bigger minutes is there in the absence of Bam Adebayo. On the Bucks side, without Giannis, everyone is in play, slate to slate. The public loves to go straight to Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis, but we saw last late Jrue Holiday could get slept on. He's sub 8K, 40-plus fantasy points isn't a crazy projection to put on him. And it's, something you probably need. But I'm not seeing on the early ownership projections, I'm not seeing like egregious numbers on the Bucks. I see Middleton at 27, Jrue Holiday at 27. The other night we saw Middleton push 40-plus on 10 minutes notice. So that's an interesting sign The guy that from this game that is getting a lot of ownership is Dwayne Dedman at 44%, the highest on our slate. So I guess DraftKings, I don't know what happened, Emac. DraftKings had the right price, right? And then did they upload an old file for Dedman to come in at $3,700? He was 48 last night. They messed up.
I mean, you know, on a smaller slate, you want to go back down. You know, maybe that was someone that had FanDuel on their resume that was doing a little work for DK. I don't know.
Yeah, that it's unacceptable. That's like a free square since on a short slate like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And in his last two games, two starts, he's Yahoo, he's 14, which is about appropriate, I think. He's not a $10 baller anymore, but 14 there. While he played 23 minutes and didn't get a ton done last night, he didn't have any blocks. He's usually good when he starts and gets minutes. He's usually good for a couple blocks. You know, he's not afraid to take a three-pointer or two. And two games ago against Cleveland, he rolled it up. He had 13 rebounds, 11 points, two blocks in 31 minutes. He ended up scoring almost 40 Yahoo points there. So that's the upside that we can look for. Would it surprise if he was in the 18 to 24 range? No, not at all. But it also wouldn't be shocking if he's able to crest over 30 fantasy points again. And especially on DraftKings, that's going to be sort of the early facilitator that allows us to create whatever type of lineups we are looking for, which of course means stars and scrubs. Anything else that you want to focus on here? I guess we should turn towards the Bucks a little bit.
There's one. No Giannis. Second game for DeMarcus Cousins being active. He is 4K. He's actually more expensive than Dwayne Dedman on DraftKings. So I would love some coach speak from Budenholzer on potential uptick in minutes for Boogie. But I don't know how this pricing mishap happened, but on the Bucks, they're all in play for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would say those of you interested in DeMarcus Cousins, 15, 17 minutes, probably going to be about all we're going to get. That's more or less what he's resigned to at this point. He looks like he's moving around on one leg there, but he can do everything again from the 3-point line in still. He can clog the lane. He can disrupt the passing lanes. He can, you know, dish out of the post, and he's fine at scoring and rebounding. He's just not nearly as adept and quick as he once was. So he's basically, wait for it, a more hobbled version of Dwayne Dedman. So just putting it out there when we all want to get excited for that. I see they're asking Yort Stevens. Is he on that?
Omer Yurtseven is the backup center for the Miami Heat. He got 19.
We projected him for 15 points. So 15 fantasy points.
Yeah, he played 19 minutes last night, 21 fantasy points. I don't really think I'd get there unless Dedman was down or something. But
That makes sense. And then with the Gabe Vincent's, Caleb Martin's, Max Strus's, you're just rolling dice. There should be better options that appear throughout the day as we get more news. On Yahoo, I'd rather look to like a Grayson Allen or a Pat Connaughton. They're each coming in at 15. Let's go to our next game here. We've got, Memphis at Dallas. Memphis is coming in at 6.5-point underdogs. Ja Morant, obviously out. He has missed the last three games. He's dealing with a sprained knee. However, he has been lightly working out in practice. They don't think there's going to be a need for surgery. So those are all excellent signs here. I would be surprised if he's still not out for another week or two even, but this is a major crisis averted for the face of their franchise. So that part is good to know. With regards to tonight, they are going against Dallas here. Dallas on the back-to-back. Last night, Dallas was without Kristaps Porzingis. He has a sore knee. We'll see. I don't know if that was a preemptive rest on the front end of the back-to-back and what they thought was a winnable game after slapping the Hornets around in New Orleans. Pardon me, the Pelicans around in New Orleans. Okay, that was like a 5-year callback. I should not be doing that. That's a long time ago. My apologies there. The Pelicans. So the Pels came back and got their own revenge in the home and home there. Took care of business against Dallas. The Pelicans, Doncic didn't do a whole lot. He played just 35 minutes. He did play most of the fourth quarter, but this was just a bit of a disaster all the way around here for Dallas. So I think that's something that we just throw a mulligan at them and just wave it off. I thought I had put it into the notes. Maybe I erased it. I think it was New Orleans that came out. They came out with like a 27-6 run to open the second half. And in that, they just could not miss. They were 9 of 12 in that, and that more or less just put Dallas away. So looking at Dallas, I don't know that Kristaps Porzingis plays or not. If he is out, we've pointed out countless times that really does not impact Luka Doncic. He, since the beginning of last year with Kristaps Porzingis, has about a 1.46 Yahoo fantasy point per minute rate. It's the same without him. Now, the mix changes. His rebounding percentage goes up. That makes sense. He gets more field goal attempts. That makes sense. The field goal success rate for him drops markedly. That maybe makes sense, but in one game, anything can happen. So those extra field goals, if they're going down, he's going to get 50 fantasy points, no problem. If they're not, well, then he's going to get something in the 40s, most likely, which is what his general production is. So what would you like to do in this one? And then the other wild thing, Memphis coming off a whooping of OKC, NBA record point or margin of victory, 73 points, 152-79 in regulation. They must have let them have, was this 15 minute quarters instead of 12? Because Gundacker, come on, that's an ass whooping.
There's a saying we have, they turn the sliders up. In video games, EMAC, you can turn your sliders up to where you just don't miss shots in your defense. Hamburgers.
No, okay.
I can go for it. Anyway, I don't know. I think that might say more about the Thunder with SGA and Goody than this piece together a Grizzlies team. But to the Grizzlies' credit, without Ja Morant, they've been out there over compensating for that defensive efficiency with Ja Morant, and two guys are picking up the responsibility. Jaren Jackson's truly stepping up when he has to. So I think the Grizzlies are still at kind of obtainable price points. Dylan Brooks, I know he felt like the worst play when the Memphis Grizzlies dropped a million points, but he did have a 36% usage rate. He was just missing a lot of shots. And Dylan Brooks has eclipsed 30% for the last couple of games without Ja Morant. And because of his inefficient shooting, his price has kind of stayed at an obtainable spot, more so on FanDuel at 6K. I think that will probably pick up a little steam here, but 18, 17, 15 shots in games where he played more than 15 minutes last couple slates, 30 plus fantasy points probably are really, really modest projections. So I would expect some decent exposure in my personal lineups for Dylan Brooks, but I would also expect the field to kind of catch up on that. Looking at our player projection for FanDuel, he's not as high as I thought it would be. So I like getting to Dylan Brooks pretty aggressively. Last night, Tim Hardaway left the game with a quad, came back. Maybe keep an eye on that. If they do get Porzingis back, maybe they'd be cautious with THJ. And then that would probably keep Jalen Brunson viable at 5K on FanDuel, 4,900 on DraftKings, around 30 fantasy points, not outside the realm of possibility. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. is coming off two really, really strong games. And he's the guy that I think will be the apple of a lot of people's eyes without Ja Morant. But he's coming off two of the better matchups for bigs. Toronto, OKC were big block and stock spots, but 25 plus real points in both those games. There's not really much pushback I have here other than, Jaren Jackson has not been a long-term model of consistency. So at 7,600, it wouldn't be as much of a priority for me as a guy like 6K Dylan Brooks on FanDuel. I just feel like that's a little too soft. Desmond Bane has some meat on the bone for him, I think, on FanDuel as well. And then Tyus Jones, I typically only get to him on FanDuel, but maybe I got to open my eyes to him on DraftKings at 5,400 as well. My soft projection on 30 minutes came back for 30 fantasy points. He's just kind of a do-it-all type of stat stat stuff for him. What we saw with Luka yesterday, you know, he had a Westbrook start to the game. He had 7 turnovers. He had 8 turnovers the game prior. So maybe Tyus Jones, guy that can get you those steals, does benefit from that. And like I said, even more lucrative on FanDuel. So I do like several pieces of this game. Porzingis news would be pretty impactful. If Porzingis doesn't play, it would also probably elevate Maxi Kleber. We saw draw the start yesterday. Still really, really cheap on DK, 4,100. And then I'd be right back on Luka and Jalen Brunson. Luka maybe, with Luka and Tyler Hero letting people down last night at high ownership, you wonder if there will be any instant buyer's remorse here. And that might, you know, goldfish memory, those of us that practice that might be able to benefit from a positive night.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing that with that, exactly what you said there on the Luka Doncic, and we'll talk a little bit about Steph Curry in the next one. I had written up Steph Curry saying he's going to be the pivot off of Doncic because everybody seems to flock to Doncic when Porzingis is out. And we laid out in the free DFS building blocks article, laid out how it really doesn't change his fantasy importance. And I've already talked about this on this show, but we're back in that same situation tonight. Now, that didn't work out because Steph Curry, he didn't have a great shooting night for like second or third game in a row. But, you know, we'll go back to him again. But I think tonight Doncic is the better play. He's going to be, spoiler alert, the featured player in the article. I've already written up his cap, so that article will be posted about an hour after our show ends here, but it'll be up there before lunchtime. So I really like that. And don't worry about Brunson coming off the bench. They're doing that to spread out the offense. Basically, he'll play a ton alongside Luka Doncic, and he's carved out a nice role. It does make sense that Kleber starts and absorbs those minutes, but by default, there's going to be field goal attempts that end up with Brunson because they need another offensive option, particularly depending on what happens with Tim Hardaway Jr. as well in this one. Let's see. Is there anything else on that one other than Jaren Jackson Jr.? 0 fouls in his last game. After 5-5-5-4 in his preceding 4 games. Now, of course, did he really need to defend anybody against the Thunder? Probably not. But that was nice to see that was a capable outcome for him, even though it was just 20 minutes. All right. The next one. Ooh, this reminds me. We've got the San Antonio Spurs. This is a good little look we can use to check out Odd Shopper here. So Odd Shopper is a sister site that we have here with Osimo, and it's completely free. But what this does is it allows you to shop the odds across a variety of sports books. So, of course, you know, DK and FanDuel, they have their own sports book. Yahoo is partnered with MGM. So, you know, they have theirs as well. But this is a fun and easy way to go in one and look at what are some of the best props, both from an ROI perspective, as well as by an expected win rate perspective, because we know there's a few DFS sites out there that have prop-based fantasy games. Basically, they're asking you questions. And for those, it's more important to know the likelihood of the victory rather than what the ROI is. The ROI basically means return on investment, and that's saying, what are you spending versus what is the success rate and how much do you have to pay in the plus or minus of the wager or the bet, called the vigorish or the fee. So I'm going to drop this link into here, but we can look at this together. So you can go into Odd Shopper. You just click shop NBA bets. We, of course, have this for NFL as well. And you can sort by, just click on player props there, and you can sort by expected ROI. If you're in a specific state, you just pick the state. It'll show you which sports books are available to you. If you're in a place that doesn't have sports books, no problem. This is still helpful information. So the two that pop up off the top are going to be Keldon Johnson with rebounds. Now we can see there that right now at FanDuel, he has an over-under of 5.5 rebounds. Osimo is projecting him for 7.1. That's coming right out of the Osimo DFS model, which we build up all our models off of statistics, convert them into fantasy points, et cetera. But this is a byproduct of that. So this is updated constantly by Steve Buzzard and Alex Baker and Sean Zahn, et cetera. So you can see it's even highlighted in green. Is this a good one or not? Now, the ROI on this one's pretty good, 50%. That's solid. The expected win rate's even better. So if you're looking at at you know, Prize Picks or No House Advantage or one of those other sites. That's the important information you'd want to look at. But we also have Jakob Poeltl there, over 8.5 rebounds. We're projecting him for 9.4. So I like that one a little bit better than Keldon Johnson. Now, the Keldon Johnson, he should get a little bit of a boost because Vassell's out. Jakob Poeltl back in the mix after missing some time there, but he's going to be going against the combination of Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, et cetera. He should have the rebound advantage against either of those guys. And this is a back-to-back for Golden State. And, you know, while they did not run their starters into the ground by any stretch last night when they ended that Phoenix Suns winning streak, it is a back-to-back. So, you know, maybe they're just a half step slower, a tick slower in getting to those rebounds. So that works out for someone like Keldon Johnson or Jakob Poeltl. Do you have either of those numbers in your own model? Have you updated the infamous Gundacker model this morning?
The infamous for Poeltl and Keldon Johnson. Yeah, I have Poeltl at a broken number, but let's just say it's on the over.
10.1.
I have 11, yeah. And then I do have Keldon Johnson at 8. So, okay.
So well above the 5.5 and the 8.5. So these lines will change throughout the day, of course, but this is your chance. And boom, we just sorted this. We had the two of the best ones pop up right off the bat, and that's easy to do. You can do this for all the sports. You can do this for, you know, game lines, futures, all sorts of stuff like that to do shop across the odds. And what you want to do is find the best option. Because if we were able to find, oh, it's, you know, maybe we look across the sites and we see that instead of FanDuel, it's actually DraftKings that has the better number for Poeltl, et cetera. You can go find, you know, what you want there. So it's very helpful. It's a lot of fun. Now back to the analysis for our game here. We've got a couple more to go, but we'll get back on track here with the specific DFS analysis here for San Antonio at Golden State. San Antonio coming in at nearly double-digit underdogs here. Golden's projected point total is about 220. Andre Iguodala still out with the knee. Vassell doubtful with the quad. Kata Bates-Yop is out, likely out with an ankle. And then Otto Porter questionable. It's a back-to-back here. He's actually been playing competently. Hopefully Steve Kerr, well, not for my teams where I streamed him, I didn't think about this, but hopefully Steve Kerr says, you know, we kind of like this guy healthy. Why don't we give him the night off tonight? And they move forward from there. And then, of course, Steve Kerr, I don't know. It's not a revenge game going against Pop. Perhaps this is a loser picks up the check game for the after game dinner here. But what do you want to do in this one? This should be a fun one to watch because at least the San Antonio Spurs are playing a lot faster and are very perimeter oriented compared to where they were the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk myself into Spurs keeping it somewhat competitive. Warriors, you know, it is a back to back, but it's at home both legs. Maybe last night they got flexed to TV a little bit more emotion on to beat the Suns here. Maybe they have that emotional recharge and they come out slow, and in the third quarter they drop 50 like they always do. But DeJounte Murray is usually my spirit animal in DFS, and he's starting to get appropriately priced. And you know, this Warriors team, as good as they are offensively, they're almost that good, if not better, defensively. So I don't often get to pick it on them with high levels of confidence, especially in that's a baseball. It's just Oracle, right? I don't know. Keldon Johnson would be the guy that kind of sticks out to me the most. I got pretty deep minutes on him. We mentioned that the peripherals are very possible for him. I had him at 8 rebounds. We liked the over on this prop anyway. So at 5,300 on both sides, I could see a shot at 30 fantasy points. And then Jakob Poeltl, I'm kind of wrestling between small ball versus Popovich not giving in to Kerr's on court efficiency. So I want to get to Jakob Poeltl because I feel like 6K, 6,300, 6,200 is pretty cheap for what I know is per minute can be. I'm just kind of struggling with putting a confident number on his minute. But right now I got 30, which is giving me back 30 plus pretty confidently. But Keldon Johnson is kind of the name that sticks out. And then Derek White. I think DeJounte Murray's price point is going to be a little too uncomfortable for me to get to with confidence and a high level of ownership. But Derek White on DraftKings is 6,600. from trying to stay competitive with the Golden State Warriors. I probably want a guy that shoots threes, and I think Derek White's probably their best three-point shooter. He's going to take almost all of his shots from behind the arc, 8, 7, 9 threes in his last couple games. So I feel like if the Spurs are competitive, Derek White has to have a strong shooting game. So I'm leaning on him and probably Keldon Johnson as my 1 and 2 for the Spurs. Everybody else just kind of spin the wheel, make a deal. And the Warriors, Steph Curry, I think Curry can finally come out and play. The Suns scheme him well. They trap him well. I don't think his price is incredible on either side. He's got to be potentially the top raw point scorer on the slate. But I think it's very, very possible. And, you know, you kind of hinted at it earlier. Reasonable mathematicians will probably still go Luka, especially a lopsided spread. But Curry has the potential to drop 50 to 70 fantasy points on any given slate. So if we get buyer's remorse on Luka, maybe we get some on Curry in a couple of down fantasy point games. And I think this is a spot where he can come out and play.
Yeah, just for a quick second here on that Curry and the scheming of Phoenix. So I had gone back and looked at the last handful of games before I made him the featured player in my article yesterday. And I was looking at it because everybody likes to talk about, oh, the Chris Paul defense work. Chris Paul's 36. Steph Curry, one, he can either shoot a bunch of shots when they're not on the court together, or two, he can shoot as soon as he crosses the half court line, right? So it's not like he's defendable, right? So it that's not the issue. But I'm glad you pointed out it's a scheming, because he had yet another down night against them, and it continues to be the volume. And I like to think of Steph as essentially, even in his, what is he, age 33 or 34 now, he's still unguardable, right? I mean, he can get a shot. He's the quickest release out there still of anybody, and he's one of the best shooters we've ever seen in the history of the game. But he's has crappy nights against Phoenix, and I think it's not just Chris Paul. I think it's Phoenix that's the problem. So thank you for calling that one out. Let's file that one away and remember it the next time those division rivals square off against each other. The Warriors play in the Chase Center. It was Oracle Arena. The Chase Center is a multi-purpose arena in the Mission Bay neighborhood of San Francisco. It cost $1.4 billion during construction, and is the current home of the Golden State Warriors of the National Basketball Association, NBA.
Off the dome, right? You met?
Yeah. It's off me reading elitesportstours.ca is the site for that one. But O.co, I think, got you with Oracle. Was the baseball, right? It's this whole Giants, in the Oakland Bay Area.
The Giants Park is Oracle. So I remember they used to be Oracle. So,
remember Park, Pac Bell, Candlestick. Do I keep going?
Yeah.
All right. Baseball. Oh, baseball, lockout, baseball. We'll see. There's going to be no movement on baseball till we get close to spring training. There'll be some chest thumping and all of that until then, but they are technically under a lockout right now. All right. Anybody else from going down in, is another Draymond night here? He performed quite nicely last night. He's not what he was back in the day, but he's close to the old 7-7-7. Sometimes life comes up cherries and jokers on the slot machine here. Are you ready to pull the slot machine handle on Draymond?
Yeah, last night Draymond had 9 stocks, 3 blocks, 6 steals. Not unlike Draymond. Obviously, that's his ceiling game, was the go crazy with stocks. So it is a range of outcome here, but never a comfortable click. Usually a tier 3 guy for me, but at 7K, 40 plus isn't impossible. So yeah, some Draymond here, and then Wiggins and Jordan Poole just kind of scatterbrain them. You do feel like there might be some rest here. My boy Josh in the chat, I know he's a Warriors stand. Is Otto Porter potentially still on that rest where they kind of ice him on one leg of a back-to-back? I'm looking at the game long here. I can't see the last time that he played a back-to-back. So maybe if Otto Porter ended up getting rested tonight, if Iggy was still out, you might look at Juan Toscano-Anderson, who had the dunk of the day yesterday, or Nemanja Bjelica to pick up some skinny wing minutes. So just something to keep an eye on in the back of your mind.
I like the Bielitsa call there. That is an interesting one. And let me just look real quick here and see if I can get the Porter information. He has not played on a back-to-back. He sat out the second half of both of their of the only two opportunities they've had this year to do so. So that would make sense that he may be out tonight as well. All right, two games to go. We got 15 minutes, but we want to make sure we are out of here promptly because we have the College Football Live Before Lock show coming up after us. There's six hours of content coming up after us. There's the College Football Live Before Lock. There's the MMA Live Before Lock, 6:30 start for MMA Lock tonight. You also have the Deeper Dive and NBA Live Before Lock. That'll kick off at 6 o'clock tonight as we have that 8 o'clock lock. We also have two NBA or NFL shows, coming up. And then in the can, we already this morning recorded and broadcast the NHL strategy show. And then yesterday on the contrary, that's now out on Friday afternoons. That was with Dave Locker and Alex Baker, of course, and a special guest each week. This week, it was Ian Harditz of the Pro Football Focus. So you guys will want to tune into that. That's also out there on the Osmo Podcast Network where you can get all of these as well. And again, we do have our three YouTube channels. We've got the Osmo Fantasy Football channel. We've got this channel, and then we have the Osmo Odds channel. You guys can subscribe to all of those because we're putting out different NFL content on all three platforms throughout the time, including simulcasting on NFL Sundays, because there is season-long information to talk about. There are betting shows to discuss. And then there's, of course, 4.5 hours of the DFS block. So you guys can check out all of that. We are almost at 67,000 subscribers. I haven't checked in a couple days. Maybe we got there, but we'd love to have you guys subscribe. It does help us out. Hit that thumbs up, that like button. Help us battle that pesky YouTube algorithm. Boston at Portland. Back-to-back here for Boston. Additionally, a 3-4. They were without Jaylen Brown, dealing with a hamstring injury. He's questionable for tonight. Damian Lillard is out with an abdominal strain. You have Simon says, I hate Kate that I can never say his name correctly, even though I make all efforts to do so. Simon's out. And then Nasir Little is also out. We are looking at some Chalky McChalkenstein, the chalk monster with Norm Powell here. What do you want to do in this game? How do you feel about Jason Tatum? Massive minutes the last few games. He's played almost 40 in his last three games. What are you thinking about him on the back-to-back here? Let's start there.
Yeah, so on the Celtics side, yeah, minutes if Jaylen Brown did come back, I would probably walk backwards on Tatum. But if Brown ends up missing another game here and we still get Brown active, you can only expect Brown to be slotted for 35 minutes in competitive game. And without Damian Lillard, without Anthony Simons, you probably expect this game to be more competitive, even if it's a dogfight after the Celtics had to go 12 rounds last night. So I would probably play him, but it wouldn't be with a high level of confidence. Al Horford at 6,300 on FanDuel. That's a price that kind of sticks out to me as well. Horford's always one of those guys on a back-to-back. You worry about him, but until further notice, I got to assume he's in. And I kind of have to assume Jaylen Brown's in from this far out, but I guess they've been really cautious with him all year. So if we maybe plan for a player pool with him, without him, Dennis Schroeder is really cheap on both sides, 52 on FanDuel, 57 on DK, and the same can be said for Marcus Smart right around the 6K range. So the Celtics become a pretty stackable team, even if you forewent Jason Tatum. I think that's English.
Let's say avoided.
Avoided. All right, whatever. It's not as smart. But the chalk is coming from the Blazer side. You mentioned Norman Powell, but Dennis Smith Jr.
Friends don't let friends play Dennis
Smith
Jr.
He's got some really big numbers next to him. And I mean, it's hard. And I know this is going to be a topic of controversy today from the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Wait,
let me get some hors d'oeuvres out while I listen to your controversy.
DSA's 38% owned, essentially right there with Norman Powell, and then just a tick below Dwayne Dedman. So the slate's kind of preloading some players in your lineup if you're opening up an entry on DK. I get it. Dennis Smith Jr. is not a fun name to play, but $400 above the min on DK, they're running out of bodies. So I understand it. The projection looks nice. But if we expect him to maybe okey-doke us here with Powell and CJ being more of the ball handlers, there is a world where maybe they do that. They move McCollum and Powell to 1 and 2 and then give us more Larry Nance, more Tony Snell. We love that. They also have Ben McLemore on the roster. So I don't know. I think Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be a hot topic throughout the day. So I'm curious to see where the field ends up ultimately. But pre-flop on DK, it's hard to not get a really positive return on investment projection based on his $3,400 salary. And then everyone's in play here. McCollum on FanDuel, $8,200 without Lillard. I'll buy on that. And Norman Powell is just way too cheap with or without Simons, with or without DSJ, and almost with or without Damian Lillard. I just don't think this price is where it should be. So I'd be in on that. If you could tell me Nurkic gets big minutes, you know, going against a bigger front court on paper, Horford, Williams, I'd be in on some Nurkic, but it's hard to trust this minutes, but I do like his per minute production. So I probably will have some tier three shots of him. And then just because I want to say it, it's a revenge game for Enes Freedom. Just wanted to say,
no,
we're making it a thing.
All right. Well, he's people forget that before him there was Lloyd Bernard Free, who changed his name to America Be Free, and then ultimately World Be Free, well before Enes Freedom was around. You know what's great? Team, what was that? Team America? Is that what's the puppet movie?
Team America is one of them, yeah.
That made me think of that. America, F yeah. F, love yeah. That song. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Oh boy. That, yeah. Well, we're just going to get in trouble if we really reference that movie much. But the Matt Damon doll, always fun there as well. Yeah. Meta World Peace is in that mix as well. So, but it was actually Lloyd Free that came up with that first. Okay. So you mentioned that, or we mentioned that Norman Powell is in the mix. He's coming in on almost half of all awesome or Yahoo lineups, according to the Osmo rostership projection. He's just $17 at small forward. He's going to be very, very popular. Looking at Horford, he has not played in either of the opportunities so far on a back-to-back, but we'll see. You know, maybe they do roll with him tonight if Jaylen Brown is out. I was looking at Horford, his last five games, plus minus, minus 18 last night, plus 5 in a win against Philadelphia, because, you know, revenge, minus 3 in a win against Toronto, minus 29 against the Spurs in a loss, minus 20 against Brooklyn in a loss. Al Horford, what's going on, my friend? That's painful. That's painful. All right. Anything else on this one? Let's have a little, maybe we'll do a little Osmo Hall of Fame and get on to our last game of the night. Anything wrapping up this one here? We're going to need injury news to really make anything definitive.
Yeah. The main thing I would say is after Simons went down in that last game, left a couple minutes in the second quarter, the first guy in wasn't Dennis Smith Jr. It was Ben McLemore, and DSJ didn't really get a ton of minutes. So maybe there is some fool's gold to be had here, but hopefully Chauncey Billups will tighten the screws on that throughout the day. And we would feel a little bit, not that I'm running to play Ben McLemore either, but there could be some fool's gold to be had here in these in this DSG ownership projection.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. I'm sure I'll get talked into it, but there we go. All righty. Let's look at the Osmo Hall of Fame here. Reminder, you too can be in the Osmo Hall of Fame. Just tweet at Osmo, H-O-F, Osmo underscore C-O-M. Heck, tag me and Gundacker. Let's celebrate some wins. Show us that Osmo avatar and tell us about your wins. And if you actually finish top 3 in a contest with at least 5,000 entries or more. It's got to be top three. None of this tie stuff. Legit one, two, or three. We'll get you 30 free days of the Osmo premium content. That's a $90 value. And it doesn't matter what size of these contests are for the entry fees. If you play in the quarter, the nickel, the what have you, if it's just more than 5,000 entries and you finish top three, we're going to give you that 30 free days of Osmo premium content. Check out what we've got here. We've got Bud Zapper with the $3,000 win there on the NBA. That's a nice one. He says, Osmo Hall of Fame, let's go. Congratulations on that one, Corey. You've got E. Dozier, who tied with Masbury, also with an Osmo avatar there. They each won $375 in the NBA Minimax. The Minimax is a tough one. Tough one. I played in the second iteration of it last night. It was overlaying. It was only about 90% full. So I threw in, you know, 15 or 20 lineups there just literally as the clock was ticking down. I think I cashed in three of the lineups and I had a good NBA night. It just the right ones didn't go in there, but that's pretty solid there, taking down that Minimax. Next one here, we've got Eric D says, do you still have the avatar promotion for the GPP winners? Why, yes, we do. He's rocking the Osmo avatar top of the leaderboard. Couldn't have done it without us. Nice $4,000 victory there. Looks like a little James Harden and Anfernee Simons. Simons says, cash them checks. What do we got here? This is from C. He says, all I do is listen to you guys and not even use the tools yet, and this happened. Rolled it down there. Another big night. Shouting out Jordan Klein, producer extraordinaire, Josh Engelman, and of course, Adam Scherer. We got, by night all day. Had another nice one here. He's got $1,000 victories there. Same contest, two slates in a row. Nice work for him. Corey Santos, once again, wow, that's two big nights for him. Played four lineups on the night slate, $81 into $5,000. Corey, can I get a loan? Well, who are you playing tonight, Corey? That's more important. Sam Bam had a nice one there, $300 for them. Wrapping it up here with a couple more. That's fun. Let's celebrate the wins, right? You know, winning's hard, especially in DFS. Making a profit, that's really hard. So let's celebrate it there with the Osmo Hall of Fame. Final game of the night here. I'm just going to let you run with this one since we are up against it. Clippers at Sacramento. It is back-to-back for the Clippers. They beat the Lakers last night in Los Angeles, 119-115. Paul George played 39 minutes. Reggie Jackson played 36. Marcus Morris, 33, and Ibaka, 29. They are likely to be without Nicholas Batum, who's still in the health and safety protocol. The Sacramento Kings are likely to be without Harrison Barnes, dealing with a foot injury. I think this will be his fifth missed game. And then Paul George, questionable. We got word during shoot-around that he tweaked his ankle. Do they need an excuse to sit Paul George or scratch him at the last minute? No, they do not. So just be cognizant of that. Have a plan. Mo Harkless dealing with knee injury. And then we're not sure about Marcus Morris. That's why I included him and Ibaka as well, since both those guys missed a ton of time with injury. Ibaka actually should be okay for tonight. He was down in the G League regaining his conditioning. But I'm a little worried about Morris. What do you like or not like in our final game of the night? And I'm sure you're going to mention Bagley somehow.
Bag alert, major bag. So last night the Clippers threw out a kind of a curveball lineup. They benched Eric Bledsoe and played a little bit bigger with Marcus Morris and Ibaka and Zubac, I think. Paul George tweaked his ankle in the game last night, and he did play a lot of minutes, 39 minutes, and he's been dealing with this ankle issue for a little bit. They said after the game yesterday he was hopeful to play today. What the heck does that mean? If he did play, he would project as a really elite play. If he didn't play at 10 p.m. on this slate, not a whole lot of Mayday buttons to press at that price point. So hopefully that news does come out somewhat early in the day and we can plan accordingly. And then, of course, if he were to be out, that, you know, unleash Reggie Jackson, Bledsoe, spin the wheel, make a deal, Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, guys like that. And then I love playing me some Isaiah Hartenstein at 3,400 on D. I definitely could see myself taking some long shot, 100K to first shots on him. And then on the Kings side, you mentioned Bagley's back active. They just don't seem to want to give him run, even though he's really been lucrative for them offensively at the end of games. So De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, all guys for me. I usually cap myself to not have more than two of three in those lineups, with Fox being the top guy on the podium. And Rashawn Holmes, $6,000 on DraftKings, the Los Angeles Clippers, one of the leakiest teams at points in the paint allowed. So it's a big spot for him at 6K. I like that price point.
All right. With that, we're going to get Alan out of here because we have college football live before lock coming up next. Follow Osmo underscore COM on Twitter. You can find Gundacker at Gundacker on Twitter. I am at EmacDFS. Justin Wilson, J-Dub, I'm on to you. I'm on to you. Circle of trust here. Circle of trust. With that, gamers, good luck.